one and all, it's Saturday morning. It's Humbug Radio, so it has to be the eponymous Phil and Woody show. Phil, how was your week, my friend?
Superb. Absolutely superb.
Perfect.
Are you looking forward to another 2 hours of music, musings, and musely?
Happy days to you here on Humbug Radio. It's the eponymous Phil and Woody show. I'm the eponymous Woody, and this is the eponymous Phil Cornwell. Your Michael Caine is like the classic, isn't it? Yours is the Harry Palmer. Whereas I do the later Michael Caine. The one from the Batman films. You know, the one where he goes, I will not put Master Bruce, I will not put another Wayne in the ground. Always maintain your weapon. So I do that one, and you do...
Mine is quite... It's up there a bit more, but I do tend to veer towards the old one as well.
I'm stepping on my toes now.
I am not stepping on your toes.
Yes, the Beatles. Now, a lot of people may not have heard of the Beatles these days.
Get out.
Or do you think they are, you know, they occupy a... Do you think they're timeless? Do you think people do?
Well,
they do, don't they?
It's difficult, you know what it's like, though, you know, my missus is Chinese.
Yeah.
And she didn't know who the Beatles were.
You're
she
kidding.
There you go. Never heard of the Beatles. Never heard of Elvis Presley. And it doesn't surprise me. And young people nowadays, they haven't heard of anything at all. So it doesn't, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. It's funny, isn't it? It makes you feel such an old... But there's something timeless about the Beatles, I think, anyway. And, you know, I like the idea, you know, where you could just do sort of all of them, you know. When you got Paul doing that and you got to wiggle your head around like this, you see. And then, you know, you start talking to John and he always upsets me.
Oh, shut up, Grandad. I never said I was bigger than Jesus or greater than God as a thing or whatever it is, you know, and now we got all this.
Well, I just love being in the Beatles, you know. It was fabulous, you know. What's happened to me these days, I've become a little bit American, you know, and I'm still that shit kicker from Liverpool, you know.
I love being in the Beatles. It was like being in the eye of the hurricane.
Thank you very much.
Very, very, very. And I sat there in awe of that.
George is a bit...
it was good.
No, it's not.
No, it was...
It's different from the others. That's all I can say.
I felt like they were in the room.
He did actually say that. The Beatles were in the eye of the hurricane. And he didn't enjoy it, actually. I got that wrong. George was the one. I think he was the most reluctant Beatle. I think he saw through it. He very much saw through the whole thing.
Oh, food's great. You know what I used to do? I used to go to the chip shop of a night time, you know, and eat as many chips as I could. Me and my mate, Les Ellaby, had a chip eating kind of contest that we had. But not that we used to watch each other do it. He'd be where he was and I'd be where... And we'd go to school the next day and I'd say, oh, I had a shilling's worth last night. I had that. And that's honestly, that's what we used to do. So, you know, I did used to eat, and that was in the 70s.
Yeah, I remember...
Early 70s.
Yeah, I remember... Also in the 70s.
Bob's worth of chips, Woody. Do you know how many chips that is? That's a lot of chips. It was in them because you could get a tanner's worth as well, you know.
I remember in the 70s when I first met Northern people. And they used to have, instead of fish and chips, they'd have a pie and chips.
No,
and they
used met Northern people.
And they used to call it a baby's head and chips.
A what?
Baby's head.
I know baby's head, but what were you talking about?
A pie. Yeah, it was a baby.
Oh, but they called it a baby's head.
Yeah, baby's head and chips, because it looked like a baby. When you think about it, in amongst the chips, you'd have with a bit of gravy on it. They called it baby's head and chips.
When you think about it, in amongst the chip.
When you think about it seriously,
and I will. I'll give it some thought later. Yeah,
there is a resemblance.
Baby's head. Northern people.
Well,
are you casting aspersions? Are you making assumptions that all Northern people call pies babies' heads?
I don't know. They might do.
I'm just trying to... don't be cold.
And quite extraordinary.
No, well, that's he was awesome.
He had funny hair, didn't he?
David Coleman
had funny hair.
Juan Torino.
In the 1970s, television presenters had funny hair.
No, they did. They did have.
Robert Robinson, David Coleman. Who else had funny hair? Bobby Charlton. He wasn't a television presenter.
Yes.
Williams.
Wolstenholme.
Wolstenholme.
Peters to Charlton.
What a great goal.
Hurst to Peters. And they think it's all over.
In case you don't know what's going on, you're listening to Humbug Radio and two old men waffling about the old days.
Oh, yeah. I suppose it's time we should start discussing the inevitable, Woody. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about the fact that what we're doing isn't funny. That's inevitable. That is inevitable.
The inevitable that, being cancelled.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, death. You know, it gets a bad press.
Oh,
because it's coming to us all. It's coming to us all. You see, it's part of the deal. Apparently, you know, I used to be, when I was a youngster, I was absolutely terrified of it. Rightly so, if you're young, you think, because yeah, absolutely.
Well, when you're young, you never think it's going to happen to you.
No, you don't. And then you get to a certain age, and you're still around, and, you know, and we're not that old, you know, we're going on like we are. There are people older. But to a point where you think, no, not many. No, you're right. You're getting to that point there where you're going to get subbed off. You get subbed off, your number will come up.
Yeah.
You'll have to come off, and the manager will go, good, well done, son, good game. It's like how you approach that, Wood, isn't it? People don't like talking about it. It's like, don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that you're born does actually mean you will have to do the other thing at the other end, you know? So do it as well as you can, possibly. I don't know. You can't die in your sleep
like your old man.
Oh, mate.
Not screaming and shouting like all these people on his bus.
No.
Not that one.
Who was that? Who was that? What did you say?
That was the gag, wasn't it? That was Sid James's gag.
I had a great...
Carry on nurse or carry on doctor.
Oh, that's...
I can wait.
Yeah, right. Okay. I can wait.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, it may be later than we think, or it may be earlier than we think. It's a very interesting thing.
You
don't know
what your self-identity is, do you? You've got it stamped on you somewhere.
My mother got to 101, and she died recently in the last a few months back.
God bless her.
But she wasn't that into it, really, the idea of being 101. She was kind of over it, I sensed. Because everyone's sort of gone, you know, all your contemporaries and all that.
Yeah.
It's an odd one, isn't it?
Well, Billy Connolly said something that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, go on.
Because he said, you know, all these people that go on these health kicks and do all that stuff and exercise so they can live a little bit longer. And he said that, you know, you might live 6 months longer than me, but it all comes at the end when you're in a care home, wet in the bed. You know, and it's true.
I know.
Really?
I know.
If you want to live a little bit longer, you want to live it when you're in your teenage or your 20s or something
I
like
know,
that. You don't really want it when you're 100. You know, do you want another 6 months when you're 100? I don't know.
It's this obsession with keeping people going. And it's like, well, why? You know, I don't know. I tell you why. It's because, obviously, it hurts those people that you're attached to.
Yeah.
And we don't want to feel that pain of the loss. And we've all got to do it.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, what I will say is, Woody,
it
turned out mild again.
Oh, I bet you're fun at parties.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email studio@humbugradio.com. studio@humbugradio.com.
You're listening to Humbug Radio and the eponymous Phil and Woody Show. Now, you know the internet, Phil, it should be one of the greatest learning tools for humanity, but somehow we've managed to cop that one right up. Every time I get on the internet, there's something that really gets on my nerves. And I'll tell you one of them. I had to buy a new pair of Wellington boots this week. So I looked on the internet for a pair of Wellington boots. Simple thing. Yeah. Wellington boots.
Okay.
What are they? They're Wellington boots. Not anymore. No. Young people, particularly, I would say, townies, being someone myself who lives out in the countryside, young townies, don't call them Wellington boots. That doesn't compute because they don't know what Wellington is. They call them now festival boots.
What the
devil is that all about? Festival? But
you can see where that's come from, of
Well,
course.
I can, but that tells me that townies only go out to put Wellington boots on once a year when they go to Glastonbury. That's it. They don't visit the
Yeah,
countryside
it would suggest
ever.
That, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would, yeah.
Because really, you could call them, if you're going to go down that route and you want to rename Wellington boots, call them dog walking boots, call them gardening boots. Festival boot. There's nothing festive about a Wellington boot. It's stupid, and young
it,
people,
no, it,
stop doing it.
Is it like calling pyjama bottoms night trousers?
No,
it's
like
not
calling,
funny.
It's like calling. It's like calling them festival trousers.
Radio is a powerful selling medium, a playground for the imagination where every jingle and slogan can find its way into the hearts and minds of its listeners. And advertising on Humbug Radio is a lot more cost-effective than you might think. We can help your business to shine bright without dimming your budget. To learn more, email us studio@humbugradio.com.
You're listening to Humbug Radio and the eponymous Phil and Woody Show. Phil, you know you browse through the internet. Well, I don't know if you do, but
I do.
I'm
a YouTube man, really. I do like.
Yeah,
to,
no, well, actually, that's.
Thank God for YouTube. What an amazing thing. It
yeah,
really,
well,
anyway, I'm here to.
It was YouTube that,
that
started me off on this one.
Right. Okay.
So someone's posted something on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's there. Some people from Yorkshire. I don't know. They're influencers, shall we say, or whatever. You know those chocolate fountains you can get that some people buy them at Christmas. You know chocolate fountains.
Yeah, for
melt
for,
the chocolate
for,
and you dip
for
your
parties
you
and
dip
things. You have chocolate fountains, do
yeah.
you?
Well, they are promoting this. It's a gravy fountain.
Yeah.
So you put your gravy in the fountain, and presumably, you know, when you're having your Sunday lunch, you dip your Brussels, put it in the centre of the table, dip your Brussels sprout into it. What a absolute disgusting piece of dirty behaviour.
Is it?
Well, I don't want someone else's saliva in my gravy.
Hold on a minute.
How very dare they. A chocolate fountain?
No, but hang on.
That's bad enough. A gravy fountain?
It would have gone, wouldn't it? It would have gone by the time you've gone to the fountain.
What would have gone? The Brussels sprouts?
The saliva. I think this is a bit tenuous, this one.
Is it? Well, no, I did
no,
see
but
it.
You're clearly angry
did,
about it.
Oh, I am angry about it. Gravy fountain. What would you put in the fountain then, Phil?
I don't know, crisps, I suppose.
Crisps? Curry sauce?
Curry
sauce? Oh, that was the thing.
Oh, curry sauce. Do you like curry sauce? I love it.
No, I tell you what it wasn't really the gravy fountain that really annoyed me. It was one of the comments underneath that said, but I don't like gravy. What could I put in it? Well, if you don't like gravy, you're not entitled to something else instead. You're not a child. Well, maybe there was a child who written in, but I don't think it was. If you're not in, if you're not entitled to have... To have a replacement, do you gravy?
So
have some curry
this,
sauce
no.
on it. What are you supposed to say to that? What can I put
were
in
you
it?
You watching this on YouTube then?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah, briefly.
Right, God, those long winter nights must fly by, would he?
I'm here with my old mate, the man with a thousand voices, Philip. How are you,
every
my son?
One of them the same. I like that.
Like Mike Yarwood.
Like Mike Yarwood. Yeah, don't knock it. He was very important for me. He did all the hard work and I used to nick all the stuff off him. But when I was a youngster, yes, hello, Woody. It's great to see you. We do go back a long way.
Yeah, I tell you, I can't get away from you because
I
sat down with my missus the other night to watch a film and we watched that Ridley Scott's Napoleon. You know, the one with Joaquin Phoenix in it.
Joaquin Phoenix.
And right at the beginning, Marie Antoinette comes on and they take her through the crowd and they take her up onto the guillotine and they chop her head off and this bloke lifts her head up and waves it in front of the crowd. And I thought, pause that there. That was you. You were in that film.
Well spotted, well spotted.
I mean, it was quick, but it's still a big Hollywood film, mate.
I know. It's good that when people spot that, because it was such a quick bit. It's quite an important bit, actually, because right at the beginning of the film, it was an extraordinary experience, let me tell you that. And that was all based. I got that part, you know, obviously, because Ridley loved, you know, me and Ridley, you know. As it, Ridley turns out he's a Geordie. So that was good, I like that. It was based on a self-tape, you know, one of those self-tapes that you throw into the abyss, you know, and, which is how it is nowadays, but I actually got it.
Did you have a line?
Yeah, I had lines. And
gone. No, gone. No, I had other scenes as well, but I think I might have been CGI'd very naughtily. Not naughtily. I think they've got an agreement now, and they.
Never mind.
But that was real.
It was lovely to see you.
The head.
The face
can
there.
I just talk to you about the head?
You can.
Have we got time on the radio?
Yes.
I know. Anyway, the head was incredible. The Marie Antoinette head, of course, because there was a budget on it. But I did nearly chop my index finger off, and it's actually a different shape. One, the left-hand one is a different shape now from the other one, because the guillotine, I left my hand in the guillotine, and they pulled it up really quickly, back up. Luckily, not going the downward way, because that would have...
Did it go in the accident book?
Maybe it did, but there was a lot of blood pouring out of my finger, along with stage blood. So I had stage blood and my real blood. And it was, and I was like, because Ridley was in a bit of a rush. He wanted to get it done because it was. He says, come on, let's get going. And you can't really rush sort of guillotine work. But it all looked really good and it was a wonderful experience.
There we are. You can't rush guillotine work.
No.
My name is Joan of Arc. And I was burnt at the stake. And do you know what I said when I was on that stake? Ouch! Not many people know that.
You're listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody Show here on Humbug Radio, and earlier on I posed the question, are manly hands acceptable in the 21st century, or should they be thrown out along with mother-in-law jokes and Jim Davidson? Well, we've got our first caller. Hello, caller.
Hi. Hello, Adam. Am I through? Am I through? Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Aye. Well, that's canny. I heard that you were talking about manly hands and a lap caper.
That's right, manly hands. Can they still be mentioned in the workplace, or is it going to offend somebody?
Kenny, did you just say my name? Oh, I thought you said my name, Kenny. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that's my name, which is... I'm Kenneth. Kenneth Loop is my name. I'm from Gateshead. On the other side of the town. I'm thinking about that, what you said about the manly hands and all that, and the people, what were saying to you about you can't say that. You can't say that now. You can't say it. But I think, that's taking it to a little bit to extremes and all that, Kipper. But whatever, you know how people are now. I personally always think of my dad, right? He had these hands, they were like shovels. They were like shovels because he worked down the pit, you know, and his dad before him. And the size of their hands, you would be amazed at the size of them. They were black with coal. And he dropped down, and he was about 50 years old, and his hands looked superb. I'll remember them later, you know. And he had a pair of manly hands. Mine, now they're a different matter. These hands have been likened, and remember my first wife said to me, she said, by the cringe, you've got the hands of a giraffe, you know. And I didn't understand exactly what she was talking about. But she later, a couple of days later, she explained to me what she meant by the hands of a giraffe. Because I asked her a couple of days later. And she said, because you've got these long fingers, you see, and they reminded me of a giraffe's. I said, giraffes didn't have fingers, man. They've got hooves, though, but... Anyway, we're not together anymore. I'm still a little bit sad about it. I'm Gannon. How are you?
You are listening to two old men. How'd you say? Waffling. Yes, it's the eponymous Phil and Woody Show. I got balls.
You can look at anything on YouTube.
No, it's terrific.
It's all there.
That's terrific.
Everything is all there. But there's people that just go, oh, I don't like that. It was so much better in the old days. Every time, all comedians, they were so much funnier in the old days. No, they weren't. Some of them were. Some of them weren't.
You know, yeah. And it's the same, exactly the same. There was no halcyon time. Look at television.
No, isn't that funny?
They had four channels. They don't mention the rubbish that was on there. They're like, oh, yeah, we had Dad's Army, or we had the whatever, you know, we had Fawlty Towers. It was all brilliant. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But there was rubbish on there as well.
Oh,
for example.
Lots. Yeah.
Black and White Minstrel Show. Hey,
what? What? Well, that was peak time viewing, wasn't it? Saturday night. Well, yeah, it was, yeah. And everybody sat round and watched it. You know, you think about that now, it's absolutely extraordinary.
I hated it with a vengeance at the time. Oh, it was a teenager.
Sort of depressing, actually.
It was depressing.
I found it depressing.
But I genuinely don't believe that it was meant to be racist. But it was. I think probably not.
No,
the best you could say about it was somebody didn't really think it through, did they?
Is that the best thing you can say about it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I think it is.
Someone somewhere did not think that through.
No, and I'll tell you what, if us people that write in on the internet and say, oh, things were so much better back in the day, they should be made to sit down and watch back to back Black and White Minstrel Show and then tell me that things were better in the old days. They weren't.
Billy Cotton. No, I'm old enough to remember that.
This is your father's Humbug Radio, a more sophisticated channel from a more civilized age.
I'll tell you what annoys me. Now, I heard this on Radio 4. They were talking about people that queue in pubs. Have you heard about this? People that queue.
I don't mean queue
at the bar, but queue in a line.
Oh,
like
hang
at the post
on,
office.
Mate. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
I heard them talking about it, and it sort of went in one ear and out the other. And then I was in a pub the other day, and there was a line of people at the bar. What? I'm speechless about it.
A line of people. You walked into a pub, there was a line of people.
There was a queue of people going across the floor and you couldn't get in.
Oh, hang on.
Idiots.
This could be... No, you wait a minute. You checked it out, obviously. But was it for food or something?
No.
Was there a separate food area?
No, this is a trend. This is a thing.
People lining up at the bar. See, I haven't I don't go in pubs anymore.
I know
anymore.
You don't.
Oh, I haven't had a drink for 28 years,
no.
Which is great. But my goodness me, Woody.
They what? Not in every pub, but I've been in a few pubs since this trend started. Never seen it. The other day, I was like, I wasn't having any of that.
What did you do? Did you
go
straight
to the bar?
Went old school, did you?
I went up straight up to the bar and ordered my drink, and I could see them all giving me a dirty look. Idiots.
Are you serious?
It's absolutely serious.
How many in the queue would you estimate, Woody? Just be honest about it.
20 people in the queue.
20 people?
20 people. You're idiots.
You're having a laugh.
Great Britain, stop it. Stop this nonsense now. And people are going, we're British, we like queuing. Not at the pub.
No,
you queue in a post office.
That's odd. There must be a reason for that. There has to be a reason for that, Woody.
I tell you what, the bar staff were pleased that I... Because if you think about it, there's like... The bar is built... It's built sort of lengthways, isn't it? So you could get lots of people.
Well, that's the idea,
part
isn't
of the fun of going to the
jostling
pub.
Jostling a bit.
Yeah, that's all part of...
It's all part of the sport.
Part of the fun.
And go, over here.
So it looked
over
like
here.
The bar was completely empty. So I thought, well, I'll take advantage of that. And I just walked up. They served me straight away. I took my drink back.
Oh, I bet they must have been livid.
I didn't care.
Just get some tarts.
Sheep. I'm not buying it. I'm not joining in. No. Great Britain, stop it now.
Hello, Woody. I want to talk to you about food.
Go ahead. Go on. Are you saying I'm fat?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
If it's take my hands out of that food.
Take your hands out your pockets as well.
That's where I keep my food.
You're always...
Go on, what do you got, your hands
in your pocket, aren't you?
What do you want to ask?
I can
mate?
See what you've got, you jangling your change what? There. Food, because you know I'm a bit of a...
Skeleton?
Skeleton, look at me.
You're white squat skeleton in the cupboard. She's let you out today, though.
Hey!
Recycling a David Beckham joke.
Oh, it's so good. Recycling a David Beckham joke. Yes. No, food. Very interesting.
Yeah.
No, I have become one of the foremost... foremost
of food?
Sous chefs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know what they are, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want me to explain?
Yes.
No, I don't need to explain. You know
where
they are.
Right. Go on.
You don't
the
want
purposes of the gag, I know.
There is no gag.
Oh, isn't
it? Not with me. You're okay. Not looking. I don't do gags.
Okay.
No, but I've studied, and I under some of the greats.
Yes.
You know, about food and that.
Barry being White.
Barry Manilow.
Actually. Barry Manilow.
Now, he didn't eat.
Barry
White.
He did
eat. He liked a snack now and again.
Yeah.
No.
What about any other Barrys?
What about Enid
Barry
Blyton?
McGuigan.
What's that got to do with it?
I don't know.
Why did you mention it? Barry McGuigan and Enid Blyton in a rowing boat having a picnic.
Yes.
Oh, in the gardens of a Victorian stately home. And McGuigan, I don't know, he looks like he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, and Enid Blyton, you know, and they're talking about literature, you know, like early sort of medieval literature,
oh,
you
my,
know.
Yeah.
McGuigan's is in all that kind of early sort of stuff.
The Decameron.
What was I talking about? Decameron.
David Decameron.
David Decameron. Oh, I wish I'd said that. So anyway, food's really good and I've done loads of it. What about you?
You're trying to say I'm fat.
No, that's your head telling you
I'm
fat.
I've told you before, this is
you're
not
paranoid,
this
man.
Is not my stomach. The elasticity's gone on the outside and on the inside. What? That is my lungs. They've just dropped down
skeleton.
To my what
skeleton.
I call my midriff.
Yeah, comedy. The comedy we got served up in there.
What, in the olden days?
In the olden days. Quite lame, a lot of it.
Yeah. I can't even remember.
Quite lame. Yeah. But there was some genius stuff. Of course there was, you know.
Yeah.
No
doubt about it. There is today as well.
And there is today. That's absolutely, to be
Derry
fair.
Derry Girls. Brilliant. Absolutely perfectly
not,
cast. Very funny.
I've not seen that.
Have you not seen Derry
Girls? No, I heard about it.
Oh, you want to watch it.
Oh, I'm sure it's...
Have you seen Brassic? Brassic?
Oh, Joe Gilgan. Blimey. I know.
Yeah? Joe, no? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Oh, I love it.
Oh, no, if Joe's in it, it's going to be great. He's the most extraordinary actor I've ever worked with because he's exactly the same off camera as he is on, and that's what you get, and that's why they have him. He's completely kind of... He's extraordinary, Joe Gilgan. I did a thing called Misfits with him years ago when I played his dad, and that's where I sort of first met him, and... You know, he's got this amazing sort of energy and he's just extraordinary. And so I'm sure, I mean, Barassic's been running for...
Barassic Park.
I'm thinking of Barassic Park, aren't I?
Yeah.
Richard Attenborough.
Because we're both dinosaurs.
Yeah, we're both dinosaurs. And Jeff Goldblum and Sam Neill in Barassic...
In
Barassic Park. That was better than Jurassic Park, I thought, actually, Barassic Park.
Yeah, it was the low-budget version.
It was the low-budget version. Isn't it the ones with the dinosaurs made of cardboard and they just sort of moved them about a bit, didn't they? You're listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody Show on Humbug Radio.
Do you want to do Tommy Cooper popping in?
Oh, yeah, go on then, if you like.
Yeah.
I wander in. Where are you?
So I don't know what you're going to do on this one. So.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
No, I don't. No.
Do you want me to tee you
I'll up? I'll just be Tommy Cooper.
Do you want me to...
Tee it up?
Why
don't you do that?
No, but...
Tee me up. So here's Tommy. Tommy's coming.
What direction do you want me to
do? Doesn't matter.
Okay,
I'm going to do a couple of gags.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Thank you very much.
Hey, hold it. Hello, yes, we're still here. And the wonderful thing about being on Humbug Radio, apart from the huge paycheck, is that we can conjure up all the celebrities, alive or dead. They're just queuing up to come into the studio, and you'll never guess who's just wandered in off the street. Why, it's Tommy Cooper. Hello,
I
Tom. How you doing?
Hello, Woody.
How are you doing?
I was just wondering about.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
I was wondering about, and I saw you. I thought I'd go and talk to Woody.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's lovely to see you.
No, it's nice to see you.
It's been a while, isn't it?
It's certainly been a while. It's been a wire.
Yeah.
It's not been a while. It's been a wire.
No, that wire's...
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
But do you know, I met my wife in Melbourne. And I said, what are you doing here? No, seriously. And do you know what? I bet a horse, you know, I did, 20 to 1. Came in at 4:10. Oh, I don't know why I'm doing that. Look at that. I've got another one over here, look. It's very visual gag, that. You know, I can't think of anything else to say that's going to help the situation. So, I'm going to go away. And I might have a little cry. No, stop crying. Stop crying, Tommy. Pull yourself together. Do you mind if I disappear for a while? I think I might have a meditate. I don't know how to spell it.
Dive into vinyl heaven at Flashback Records, your go-to destination for rare collectible vinyl, featuring many of those sought-after first pressings and hard-to-find early releases. You can sell us your own vinyl records or your old CDs and DVDs, or you can browse the very latest contemporary vinyl. Explore our online store now at flashback.co.uk. Flashback Records, recycling music since 1997.
Got to ask you a question, my friend.
Yeah, go on. Fire away.
Who was the greatest British game show host? And I bet I know who you're going to say.
You might not. Go I'm on. Going to be deliberately sort
Ooh,
of
obtuse.
Out there.
Are you going to be obtuse?
There's no need to be rude.
Yeah.
All right.
Wanna tell you, friends.
Oh, that is obtuse.
Wanna tell you now?
Yeah.
Is that how he used to go? Huey Green?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm only doing that because I can do him and I just wanted to do it. He probably wasn't the greatest game show.
I thought it was creepy.
No, you know I'm going to say...
Brucey.
Yeah.
Got to be Brucey.
And he was... Yeah, he was the man, I guess.
Yeah.
That, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Brucey, hang on. Yeah, a game show.
Did you ever meet Brucey?
No. Always used to do him. He was a staple of my act, actually.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. And I did meet a lot of people.
Yeah,
no, I never met him. Did you meet him?
I was in the same room as him. Because do you remember at the BBC, the BBC canteen was just
there
the
was
most...
There was a place.
Oh,
I know.
Wasn't it?
Oh,
wasn't
hang on,
it?
Remind me, because when I did Dead Ringers for many years, I think... Upstairs? Up.
No, well, no, the big one was downstairs on the, like, I guess it was on the ground floor.
Remind me, I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, and I did my work experience when I was 15 or 16
How
at
wonderful.
The BBC.
At the telecentre?
At television
wow,
centre.
Wow, that's a good gig,
and when
mate.
You went into the canteen...
That's a good gig to get.
It was great.
What, at that age? Are you kidding me? Getting
yeah, well,
in
my,
the building?
My mum's uncle or somebody like that used to run the rehearsal studios. So it was... What a fan... I spent a whole week...
Yeah, yeah. Go on, yeah, tell me.
Fantastic.
You were in the canteen.
In the canteen. Well,
wow.
That was the highlight, the canteen. But we went to...
Yes, of course,
we went to
yes.
the rehearsal studios and I had to sit in the corner... And in one day it was Rent-A-Ghost. You remember Rent-A-Ghost?
Yes,
we were rehearsing
really.
That.
Yes.
And then, Are You Being Served? Oh. Which was big on the television.
Of course,
those days.
I know.
And
huge.
There I was in this little rehearsal studio with Molly Sugden and Frank Thornton. And joy. But the highlight was when we went into Television Centre. And got taken into the canteen because it was just like you kind of imagine. It was like a wonder people coming in as Cybermen in their Cybermen costumes and there was like
how you would imagine
Malcolm
it.
And Wise sitting over at that table chatting away with their producers and I always remember that because this would have been back when the generation
Malcolm and Wise
on. Malcolm and Wise were in the canteen.
Yeah, they were there. You mean?
Yeah, everybody was there. Everybody
really?
Went to the
you
canteen.
Saw Eric and Ernie?
I saw Eric
chatting
and Ernie.
Away to a producer it, or something.
Yeah,
in the
and, yeah, and Brucey. Brucey was there. And I always remember because Ronnie Corbett came up to the table and had a chat with my great uncle or whatever it was and had a little quick chat with him. I was like, oh, Ronnie Corbett. And
oh,
he was just,
wow. No, well, Woody, that's quite meaningful.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah,
it
no,
was
no,
wonderful.
No. Because that would have impressed you
yeah.
at that time,
oh, God,
as
yeah,
it would
yeah.
have me.
Yeah.
That whole showbiz kind of,
yeah.
Oh. You know, can I...
But they had sparkle, you see. I remember. That's what I remember about seeing Brucey. Right, even though he was across the room with Anthea Redfern, they were sitting on the Generation game
charisma.
Table. Yeah,
some
sparkle.
Sort of charisma. Or was
sparkle.
It because you knew it was Bruce Forsyth?
No, he had sparkle.
Yeah, he did. He did have... Of yeah. course, that's why he was so good. And,
yeah.
And he lasted so long. He was yeah. doing it for so long as yeah. well. But that's interesting, yeah. Yeah, seeing
wonderful
famous
days.
People.
And I think, and I'm going to say, it's a tragedy that the accountants and lawyers at the BBC sold Television Centre because that was part of Britain's
that was
heritage.
A funny one, that, wasn't it? Because it, oh, really? The donut?
So, yeah, it's a hotel.
The donut.
Isn't it? What a shame.
Yeah.
All of those.
Is it partly BBC still?
The studios are still there, but none of the offices are. And that's where the creative people were, you know, upstairs. You get all the lighting directors.
Privileged.
Yeah. I did the Wogan.
I was privileged.
I did not Wogan's show, but there was a daytime show called Wogan's Web. I was a writer on it. Used to work up at Television Centre.
Oh, no, you went into TV Centre, yeah, because, you know, Dead Ringers, we used to read for read throughs and we'd record in the live bits in the
studio.
What,
in the television centre? Yeah.
Yes, for many series. And I was going there where I was as a kid watching Terry and June when I was 15, like, being really impressed with it all.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, wow, I'd want to be an actor. I'd love to be in. And there I am in the studio. You sort of take it for granted almost. You're just walking around it. But realise what a big thing.
Do you know what?
No, I didn't. I didn't either. I didn't take it for granted.
Television centre was a special place. Wasn't
I knew.
It?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was special. Gone, sadly.
Well, like all good things, Woody,
yes,
it
my
has
friend.
To come to an conclusion.
Yes. We're out of time.
We're out of time. We're out of money. We're out of... What else are we out of?
Milk. Out of milk, yeah.
We're out of milk. Semolina.
Of milk. Yeah. Out of all
got
of those
some
things.
Pilchards.
Better say goodbye then.
Can I open that tin of pilchards you've been saving?
It's a bit whiffy.
You've been listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody Show on Humbug Radio. It was a Bleach production.